This is Mark Strassman, reporter with California Politics Today. We're about to speak to Dana Cody, who's the executive director of the Life Legal Defense Foundation. Welcome to California Politics Today.
Thank you, Mark.
We're going to be talking about a lawsuit that you're spearheading against Proposition 71, but first I'd like to see if we could identify some of the players here. Tell us what the Life Legal Defense Foundation is.
Life Legal Defense Foundation is a nonprofit public interest group that fights for the sanctity of human life.
And specifically that manifests itself in what issues and what have you been
doing
about that?
Abortion and euthanasia.
Okay. And you're strongly against both of them, presumably.
That's correct.
Okay. The plaintiffs in this case that you're bringing are the People's Advocate and the National Tax Limitation Foundation. Who are those groups?
They are taxpayer groups. One is a nonprofit 501c4, the other is a 501c3.
Which is which?
The People's Advocate is a C4.
Okay.
They lobby, and they've been involved with, like Proposition 13. They were involved with the Davis recall.
Right.
And then the National Tax Limitation Foundation is more of an educational group that deals with taxpayer issues.
They're more 501c3.
Correct.
Right. Okay, so where did you bring this lawsuit? What court was it filed in?
We filed a petition for writ of mandate in the California Supreme Court.
Okay, why did you start at the Supreme Court and not in a lower court?
We started in the Supreme Court because the ICOC is getting ready to distribute grant funding in just a few months.
For our new listeners, that's the Independent Citizens Oversight Committee.
That's correct.
Okay. The Board of Directors of the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine, hereinafter CIRM.
Correct.
Okay.
So the grant recommendations will be made, and they'll be distributing funding, and we want to try to stop that before any taxpayer money has been given out.
Okay.
Once it's given out, you can't get it back.
Right. What did you specifically ask for in this suit, and who are the defendants or defendant?
Well, with the petition, they're actually respondents.
So okay.
Petitioners versus respondents.
All right.
Respondents are the ICOC. And then Robert Klein, in his official capacity as the chairperson and interim president.
Right.
And then the state officials that, have some involvement due to the initiative. It's the governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Cruz Bustamante, the lieutenant governor, Phil Angelides, and Steve Wesley.
All the people who appointed members to the ICOC.
That's correct.
In fact. And they're co-respondents as well.
That's correct.
Okay. Are they all equally mentioned there, the ICOC, Mr. Klein, in his official capacity, and those four elected officials? They're all equal co-plaintiffs?
Yes, they are.
Are they collective or individual there? Do they have to respond together? Can they respond separately?
Well, typically the Attorney General would step in on behalf of state officials, so they may respond together or they may respond separately. That's up to their...
Okay.
They're legal counsel.
And what specifically are you asking for in this petition?
We're asking that they be enjoined or that a writ issue preventing the state officials from distributing funding and that the Independent Oversight Committee not be able to be given any funding. So that if, we're not challenging the fact that the taxpayers and voters went ahead and approved stem cell research.
Right.
If they want to do that, then they should do it on their own dime, not with taxpayer money. And the basis for that is Article 16, Section 3 of the California Constitution, which says that no taxpayer money should go to an entity who is not under the exclusive management control of the state.
And you're alleging that the ICOC is not under the exclusive management and control of the state.
That's correct, because there are no members of the ICOC who are elected or public officials. They're all appointees or appointees of appointees or delegates of appointees. And those of the state who do have authority to appoint some of the members are limited to specific advocacy groups, who have special interests, and so they're responsive to those groups rather than the officers who appointed them.
Okay. Now, is the grounds that you're bringing this on and or the reasons you're doing this constitutional, financial, or ethical, or all three?
Well, the lawsuit is limited to constitutional and financial.
Okay.
I mean, yes, admittedly, and not ashamed or, you know, trying to hide the fact that we think that embryonic stem cell research is unethical. We not only think it's unethical, we think that it's not a proven technology. Strides that have been made in stem cell research have been adult stem cell research, and so we think that this does the taxpayer of California a disservice because they're pursuing with taxpayer money stem cell research that's not a proven entity at all.
So would if they only spent the money for adult stem cell research, would you still have objections to it?
I would as a taxpayer because I think that, you know, let's face it, if embryonic stem cell research was something that had promise, venture capitalists would be funding it. They're not. So they went to the taxpayers of California, got involved with all the political rhetoric, and, you know, they've got a lot of big names on their side. And so that, with their emotional ads, is what got it passed. Venture capitalists, private industry, they're not going to fund something that has no promise. So as a taxpayer, yes, I would still be against it if it funded adult stem cell research. If adult stem cell research was what needed to be funded, they probably could get private funding for it, and it wouldn't go to the taxpayer. It wouldn't go to the voter.
Okay. On the procedural questions, where does the suit stand now, and what do you expect the next action of whoever needs to respond, either the courts or the other side, is going to happen next?
Well, what happens next is the respondents have 10 days to respond.
When did you file this suit?
We filed this, we filed in a satellite office in Sacramento. So it was received on the 22nd, overnighted to the Supreme Court, who received it on the 23rd.
So that's about the 3rd or 4th of March?
Correct.
That the respondents must respond to the court?
Correct.
Okay. And what happens after that?
The court could issue a writ. We don't really know. There are several things that could happen. The court could kick the lawsuit back and say, go to the Court of Appeal.
Right.
We're hoping that they won't do that. We're hoping that they will think that this is an issue of enough public interest and that there's enough money involved in it that they will take a look at it and agree with us that it's something that's urgent that needs to be looked at right away. They may kick it back to the Court of Appeal where, you know, it would take longer.
Will there be oral arguments by you and the respondents at the Supreme Court level? Is that one of the things that the Supreme Court could order?
Yes, that's one of the things that they could order, or they could make a decision without any oral argument based on briefs.
Okay, and you filed a brief on this?
Correct.
Is it public? Is there a way we could get a copy of it and post it for our readers, listeners to look at?
Sure, I could send you the files. There are five separate files that are bound into one brief, but you could post each file.
Yeah, I could do that.
And they could take a look at it.
Okay, that would be good. What do you want to say in general about what you think the likelihood is that you'll prevail here?
Well, I don't know what the likelihood is. I'm hopeful that the court will look at the law, and I think we've done a very good job in our brief of arguing why the ICOC is not under the exclusive management and control of the state. And I'm hoping the court will agree with us and that they'll, that the writ will issue.
And is that pretty much the crux of the case? If the court determines, as you argue, that they are an organization not under the control of the state, ipso facto makes their operation unconstitutional and requires the court to issue this writ?
Yes, that is exactly the issue, the act violates the California Constitution by authorizing the sale of bonds and directing proceeds to be dispersed by an entity that's not under the exclusive management control of the state.
Let me ask you about a nuance here. The legislature, the Proposition 71 legislation was written specifically to exclude the control of the state, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
And there were provisions in it that the legislature cannot modify it at all for a certain period, and after that it can only modify it in certain other ways?
Yes, it's a 3-year period, and it would be by a 70% majority. So I mean, there's no question that the legislature has no control over this entity for 3 years. And then, you know, there are further reasons why we think that it's not under the exclusive management control of the state. The Act makes no provision for removal of any member of the ICOC or the working groups who actually make decisions about the grants. You know, the fundamental decisions as to which entities, to which grants are awarded, are controlled by the working group and the ICOC. There's no criteria on which to base its decisions. There's absolutely nothing that says how the money will be spent.
So in fact, by establishing in law that was the proposition's language, that it was beyond the control of the state, it may have hoisted itself on its own petard here.
That's what we're hoping.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens. I want to thank you for sharing this information, and hopefully we can stay in touch over the next few weeks and follow up your take on what's happening as we go forward.
Sure, that would be great.
Okay, well, thanks very much for your time.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.